Our reading today is from Romans 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perfect perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love onto our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. May Lord bless his word.
Thank you, Anna. Let's pray. Father God, thank you and praise you for all that you do in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for the way you direct us and mold and shape us into the people you want us to be. You're there, Lord, throughout all the good times and the bad times, lifting us up, helping us through. And Lord, your word speaks to us. And I pray this morning that, Lord, you would speak into our hearts, speak into our situation. Speak, Lord, that we would know that we've heard from you. Lord, we ask that, Lord, you would help us not only to hear, but actually to pick those words up and take them away with us so we can actually put them into practice. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I have had a very good week this week. Don't know what your week's been like, but my week's has been pretty up and down, emotionally, etc. And as I was writing this sermon, I felt that God was saying, well, this is for you, Kevin, just as much as it is for anybody else who will be listening on Sunday. I'm entitled this morning, Peace, Joy and Hope. Peace, Joy and Hope. And we've read from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. You know, Easter was only last weekend. Easter was only last weekend, but has it now faded and gone? I hope not. I hope that the impact of Easter on our lives lasts beyond just one weekend. Now, once again, we journey into the book of Romans, and we see the Apostle Paul reminding us of what Christ has done. He writes in verse 6, you see, at just the right time, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. This is what Jesus did on the cross. He died for the world. He died for you and me. He died for the ungodly. He died for those who rejected him, who stood there and said, crucify him. The religious leaders, they rejected him. He died for those, and he died for those who reject God's ways today. At some point or other, whoever that is that we're thinking about who rejected, that includes all of us. And through the Easter account, we see how God proved that he loved us by allowing Jesus to die in our place, taking the punishment so that we could go free, so that we could be justified. It's a lovely word there, justified. If you split it up, it says, just as if I'd
never sinned. He took the punishment so that we could go free. The slate wiped clean as we enter into a relationship with God. A relationship that comes through faith in Him. Faith in Jesus, in what He has done. Paul starts Romans 5 with the words, Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I invite you this morning to come and grasp the fact that we are at peace with God. We can experience His peace even in the darkest of situations. And sometimes we go through dark times, don't we? But even through these, we need to remember that God's peace, God's total peace, is ours for the taking. It is a gift. It is part of our inheritance, the peace of God. You know, I was just thinking about that. I was reminded of a story that's set in 1555, quite a long while ago now. And it tells of Nicholas Ridley, a man named Nicholas Ridley, who was found to be guilty and to be burned at the stake because of his witness for Christ. Imagine. One night before Ridley's execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber. To be of assistance and comfort. Nicholas declined the offer and replied that he meant to go to bed and sleep as quietly as he's ever done throughout his entire life. Because he knew the peace of God. He could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord to meet his needs. We may not be suffering in such a way, but the strength of the everlasting arms of Christ will meet our need in just the same way. Perhaps for us, our suffering is depression, where the world can seem so dark. Or it may be our sunny skies and smooth sailing on our voyage of faith, that these things have been temporarily displaced by storms and a tempest. But we, says Paul, even in these, can have peace. And knowing that, we too rest in the everlasting arms. In fact, we already have peace. It has been given by Jesus. We just have to trust Him, to rest in Him, and to see His touch within our turmoiled life. Paul continues, and we rejoice. I don't know about you, but when I rejoice in God, now this might be a strange thing, when I rejoice in God, I become full of joy. Is that your experience? When I rejoice in God, I become full of joy. I just want to say, God, you're so good. In fact, I don't believe that anyone basically can rejoice in God and not feel a sense of joy. Because that's what rejoicing is. I remember, and I probably shared this before, so I do apologize, but I do remember waking up one morning, many years ago now, and I was in a right mood. Oh, you ever woke up like that? Yeah, they use the expression, got out the wrong side of the bed, which is all very well, unless you've got one of those beds that's next to the wall. Well, you can't get out at all. But I got out of bed, and I was in a right mood. I went to work with this, if you could see it, it would have been like a thunderstorm, a dark cloud over my head, and my face was like thunder. I don't know what, I can't remember what had gone wrong, but it was one of those mornings. And after a while of wallowing in my own anger and self-pity and like vain, God said to me, Kevin, I want you to praise me, to rejoice in me. You can imagine what I said, I wasn't in the mood. I said, but I don't want to do that. I'm not in the mood for that. And yet with patience and love, God repeated those words. Kevin, I want you to praise me, to rejoice in me. And reluctantly, I started singing a chorus in my mind, you know, just remembering the words, and then singing it under my breath, you know, a chorus or two. And, you know, suddenly, an absolute joy, an inexpressible joy filled my heart. Nothing of the circumstances had changed, if I remember correctly. But my attitude towards them had changed. My attitude towards my problems had changed, as I received strength through his joy in me. Indeed, it tells us in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then God plants hope in our hearts, doesn't he? As we rejoice, are full of joy, we see the hope of the glory of God. But you know, in this passage, we are also challenged to rejoice in our sufferings. Do you find that easy? At first glance, we might think that the Apostle Paul has lost the plot. Rejoice in our sufferings. You know, I don't think I know anyone who would actually volunteer to suffer, let alone rejoice therein. But Paul's words in Romans 5 remind us that suffering is not a detour on the path of faith, but an integral part of it. It's a theme that is echoed by many of the great Christian thinkers throughout the ages. I mean, for example, Charles Spurgeon, the 19th century preacher, once said this: I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. Wonderful thing to say. I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. It's a wonderful image. It's saying that even amid the storm, we are being pulled closer to Christ if we but see. And this is what Paul is saying here. As we suffer, you know, you don't just go around saying, oh, this is, oh, I hate this, this is horrible, why me? As we suffer, we gain perseverance. As we persevere, we gain character. Our character is built up. We become more like Jesus. What's that look like, though? Well, Galatians 5 verse 22 and 23 tells us of the fruit of the Spirit. It's like some people say fruits of the Spirit, and you can pick one there and one there, a bit like going in the supermarket and think, shall I have some oranges today or shall it be bananas? No, it's not fruits, it is fruit as one whole. Fruit of the Spirit, the fruit being the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus living in us, which produces in us the character of Jesus as seen in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. It's a lovely list on there, on the screen there. You know, we become more like Jesus, developing his character. And that character within us gives us hope. You know, when we get to our sufferings and we're ready, you know, we're going through it. Paul is saying, you know, these produce perseverance, and perseverance, character. And that character is the very character of Jesus developing in us. And that character within us gives us hope. With peace in our hearts and joy in our rejoicing, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, even in suffering. But this is not wishy-washy. It's not a wishy-washy, maybe it will kind of hope, but a solid, unshakable, confident expectation. It's a kind of hope that we can, that can, I don't know, only come through knowing God intimately. It's that sort of hope from experiencing his faithfulness firsthand. It's the kind of hope that can sustain us through even the darkest of times. You know, I think one of my favourite verses in Romans has to be Romans 15 verse 13. And it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in some ways, that verse there really knits together exactly what I'm saying this morning. But I wonder, what's your hope in Jesus like? What does it look like? If you had to try and describe it, what would you say it was? Unwavering? Yeah, I wish I could say that for me, perhaps even for you, that this was the case. You know, my hope, God, is unwavering in you. But that is where we're trying to get to, isn't it? We're not there yet, but it's where we're trying to journey to with Jesus. To be full of hope no matter what. As I close, I'm reminded of a story of a man sentenced to death who obtained a reprieve by assuring the king he would teach his majesty's horse to fly within 1 year. On the condition that if he didn't succeed, he would be put to death at the end of 1 year. Seems a bit ludicrous. But he said, within a year, the man explained, the king may die. I may die. The horse may die. And furthermore, in a year, who knows? Maybe the horse will fly. Now there's an attitude of hope for you. Friends, we all need to have hope. But our hope, our unwavering hope, has to be in Jesus alone. Because as Paul reminds us in verse 9, we've been justified by his blood. We've been justified by his blood, just as if I'd never sinned. The slate is wiped clean as we, through his shed blood, can have this wonderful relationship with God. Verse 10 tells us, for if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Friends, in Christ, we have every reason to hope. Hope for the here and now, and hope for eternity. For our peace, our joy, and our hope are found in Christ alone. And this is the Easter story continued, and what it should mean for us today, as it impacts our lives beyond just one weekend. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for that word. And as I said at the beginning, I believe that was just as much for me as it was for anybody else in this room. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that, Lord, you sow within to the very fabric of our being the peace of God. Your peace. Lord, you sow into us that joy that as we start to rejoice and we start to let go in you, start to allow you to do the very things that you want to do in our lives, you fill us with such joy. Because, Lord, we're in your will. We're where you want us to be. We're doing the thing that you want us to do. And, Lord, we can't help but smile and just say, oh, Lord, you're so good. But Lord, I thank you that you also give us that eternal hope. Lord, you fill us with that hope for the now and hope for yet to come. And now and not yet. Lord, keep building that hope. Keep building us, Lord, as we develop more and more of your character. As, Lord, when things go wrong, we don't just automatically say, oh, it's not fair, Lord, I don't want this. But, Lord, look at it from your perspective and say, Lord, help me to persevere. Help me to build character. Help me to have the very character of God, of Jesus in this. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, help us as we draw closer to you, as we live out the Easter story each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.